You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast, episode number 16. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. Once again, we've got Dr. Tim Elmore in the studio with us, and we're going to start a two-part series on how to stop stealing a kid's ambition. Certainly well-intentioned when we reward kids and we give them trophies for their efforts, but at the same time, it can also have a negative effect. Now, Tim, this story hits home to you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, this is a subject that I've been musing about as we spend time with students across the country, and it does hit home with me because of my own son. You know, I have a son and a daughter. Both of them are young adults in their 20s. But my son just finished a competition in a local theater arts program. He's been a thespian all of his life, more of a mathlete than an athlete. But when he got home after the award ceremony, I said, Jonathan, how was the competition? And he simply smiled and said, Dad, it was ridiculous. And I knew there was a story here. So we sat down together, and he proceeded to tell me this over-the-top story. First of all, he said, Dad, you need to know that parents pay dearly for getting their kids into this competition. And by the way, it was like 8 years old all the way to, you know, like 25, 26 years old.
Wow.
So these are young and old. Parents paid dearly because they soon found out everybody got a medal, a big medal around their neck just for showing up. So they marched them across the stage, and Jonathan said the award ceremony, which could have taken about 20 minutes, took almost 2 hours because it was a lot of pomp and circumstance. Now, nothing wrong with that, but just for showing up, there was a big medal, okay? I don't think that's happened before at the Olympics, but it's certainly happening here in America. Then, on top of that, if a kid did anything, singing, dancing, acting, there were more medals. And the levels of the medals were gold, high gold, and platinum. Now, notice that gold is the lowest medal you can get. So kids were going, I got a gold medal, which basically, in essence, said you were the worst of the first. You know, you're not... You know, you're not doing it. So, you know, okay, so Jonathan and I are now chuckling at this, but he said, Dad, there were kids that looked like Mr. T with bling around their neck because they got 7 or 8 medals just from getting on the stage 7 or 8 times. And then if that was not bad enough, he said, Dad, as we all walked out into the lobby after the ceremony, they were announcing that if your kid didn't get the award he wanted, they were selling trophies out in the lobby.
Wow.
Yes, you heard that right. They were selling trophies out in the lobby. So moms, dads, grandparents could just purchase the trophy and make sure that they leave that building, you know, with the trophy they wanted. And really, I think what has become crystal clear to me, and maybe this is an obvious statement, is we have developed a culture of consumerism. These people paid dearly to get in. They want something going out. There's a return on investment that I'm expecting. We send our kids off to college. I want A's. After all, I spent $43,000 on this college tuition. Now, it's just good to recognize that because now what we're doing is we're removing the reward for effort and we're just saying, hey, I paid money. I should get something. And suddenly, money becomes the issue, not the gift that's inside or the ambition that's been cultivated by wanting to try harder and be the best. Now, I realize there's both sides to this, and our listeners today include educators in higher ed, K-12, youth pastors, faith-based environments. We have a wide range of listeners. But I want you to know, regardless of the context, we adults are unwittingly stealing ambition and incentive from our children. People, I'm sure, listening to this have heard me tell the story if I've been at a conference with you. I have a good friend that has a son named Jacob who just won a trophy for Little League Baseball. And when I was talking to my friend, he said, hey, Jacob, take Mr. Elmore upstairs to your room. Show him your latest trophy. I walk into the room, and it is a shrine. It looks like Cooperstown, New York, the Baseball Hall of Fame, only bigger. Just kidding. But it is. He's got ribbons. He's got trophies. And I just happened to ask the question, Jacob, how many championships have you won? He said, none. And I said, how could you get these trophies? And it suddenly became clear before he got a word out of his mouth. I knew what he was going to say. I got him just for playing on the team. But he said it almost sheepishly, as though as a young male who knows there are winners and losers, this doesn't really mean anything. Jim, you've heard me say before, I know a kid that actually gave the trophy back to his dad after a award ceremony because this doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. And I was watching the Little League World Series wrap up yesterday versus California and Japan. And what was great to see is that these 11, 12, 13-year-olds were trying their best because they understood if they came in second, they weren't getting their picture with the championship banner. They were trying to achieve something.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think we meant well when we began down this road, and I actually think we began to go down this road almost 30 years ago. As a population of parents, I've said this before, we want our kids to feel good about themselves. We look at the other side of their life, which is so stressed out with pushing, you know, make the grade, the standardized testing, all the stuff we go through. We're thinking, good grief, there ought to be something in their life where they can just be happy and have good self-esteem. What we didn't realize is rewarding them with trophies and affirmation just for showing up doesn't actually build self-esteem. Let me say that again. It doesn't actually build self-esteem. It makes them feel good in the moment, but what it actually builds is narcissism. Self-esteem is built when we find our gifts and talents inside, use them, and do something significant. And because of our performance, we feel better. Now, I'm not suggesting we get our kids into some sort of performance trap. Certainly, there is room for unconditional love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the portion of our kids' lives where they have to do something with their gifts. They've got to get up off their bottom, pardon me, and do something. And I think when we see an early or late teen, let's say 12 to 18 years old, and they just don't have incentive, I think in many cases it's because they've grown up in a culture where we adults have stolen it from them. So that's what this podcast is about. And I realize that these experiences I'm describing may not seem new to you. We're raising a generation of kids who are used to receiving recognition just for participating. And I understand. I believe it works when they're 5. I don't think it works when they're 9 or 10 or 11, especially boys. Jim, you and I both know. We both have worked with young boys. You mentor a group right now. There's something inside of a male that says, yeah, thanks for loving me. Thanks for telling me I'm awesome. But I want to feel like I did something awesome. And when we just start rewarding for that, I think it begins to steal it away. So let me give you some scenarios that are very, very common. Reflect for a moment on the long-term impact of an entire culture now that for a couple of decades at least has lived this way. When a child gets to swing at a ball in a baseball game until he hits it, meaning there are no strikeouts, when coaches decide not to keep score, meaning there are no losers, when everybody gets the same award in the end, meaning we're all equal, it could begin to demotivate kids. And again, like I said, especially males. It takes the steam out of their engine. They begin to think, why try? And this is what I think I'm seeing in so many kids, especially males. As I get on higher ed institution campuses, college and universities, I'm talking to deans that say, we can't get our guys incentivized. In fact, one said they only leave for class, they go back to the dorm room, and they're gaming. It's Grand Theft Auto, Halo, whatever it is, but Call of Duty. But they're gaming. In fact, some deans tell me they don't even seem to have ambition to date a girl. Mm. And maybe that's because they don't know how to win at that game. They know how to win at Halo, but not at the relationship thing. So
right. And do you think perhaps that's because there's always a scorecard going on Grand Theft Auto? They can always tell where they're at in the game. At the end of it, did they win or lose? Do you think that has to do with anything?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think here's a theory. It's not my theory. Many have said this before, but I certainly have embraced it. I think for many kids, sports and winning and losing in sports is the only place they actually know what the score is. In fact, if you stop thinking about it, we adults, many of us go to our jobs every day. I don't know whether I'm winning or losing. I get a paycheck on Friday, but I don't really know. And the leaders have not incentivized them by saying, here's the scorecard. Here's the bullseye.
Right.
And we want to hit the bullseye. Even if I miss it, the natural inclination is, well, I'm going to try harder next time. I'm going to get that bullseye, or I'm going to hit it. When we don't, I think, I think it explains why males in midlife can be zonked at the end of a workday, but suddenly get energized to go play softball with a men's team who are a bunch of 48-year-old midlife chubby guys, because it's something that they're scoring, that they know what the score is. And again, once again, I think this actually reduces ambition. Let me talk for a minute about the idea of incentive. Maybe this will explain why I'm saying what I'm saying with such passion. I think incentive is one of the most important factors in child behavior. In fact, I think our nation was built off incentive. Pioneers come over, they leave England and Europe, they want to come for a better life hundreds of years ago. They've got nothing when they get here, but they get a piece of land. That's a scorecard. Right. Landowners were everything. In fact, you couldn't vote unless you owned land. But the whole point was I had nothing, and now I'm achieving. I'm doing something. There is a sense of conquest, not necessarily over other people, but over life, over the world, over things around me. Well, America was built off incentive, and we became very great very fast. We're a relatively young country, but we were leading the world in many categories. Not all, but many. Now we've become a country where we gently and lovingly have removed some of that incentive. I'm wondering, will these kids have ambition as adults like the early Americans did? Do we have it like the early Americans did? Or do we just like our smartphone and our microwave and our ATM? We want things pretty quick and easy. I don't know. So we need to think through this idea of incentive. What incentivizes kids? Well, I think at once there's some fairly superficial ones. In other words, there's immediate ones. For instance, check this out. When a kid gets their first job, the incentive might be money. Okay, they're not thinking about making a difference maybe, but they get a paycheck. They finally get some money that they earned. But I tell you what, that's not bad. I think there's something to be said for I'm exchanging my time and effort and talent in exchange for a paycheck. And I'm being rewarded, and I've got money that I earned. Mama didn't give it to me just for being her son. I did something for it. I think in sports, obviously we talked about winning, reaching the end zone, reaching home plate after a home run, scoring a basket in basketball. These are all incentives. In class, it might be getting that scholarship. So I want to get a grade to get the scholarship. In social settings, it might be the opposite sex that's the incentive for me to actually take a shower or look nice. But my point is, we need incentive. And when we take it away, of course they're going to lack ambition. Now, let me back up real quick and say this. This does not, many of you are thinking of people, kids in your life that are not this way. Of course there are. There's going to be exceptions to every rule. And I understand there are percentages of kids that are fully healthy, full of ambition, ready to go. And I love that. Hold on to those kids. And then one day when they're ready, turn them loose. But there is a growing, may I say it, increasing percentage of kids today that have lacked ambition because we haven't cultivated in them. There's never been a chance to really lose or fail. Many kids are growing up today with the unspoken notion, if I fail or fall, an adult will swoop in and save me. Hmm. I won't actually flunk. I won't actually get held back. I won't actually. And I'm not saying I want that. I don't want them to flunk. But if that's what it takes for them to realize, oh my goodness, there are consequences here. Now we've got a kid that begins to have a fire burning inside and something good can happen.
That's a great point. And do you think it plays out later down the road because they get so used to having that adult swooping in that they then fear taking risks down the road mm-hmm. because if they don't have that adult in their life,
yeah.
then it, you know, it kind of deters them from wanting to go out on a limb and
yeah.
make a different decision than they've had to make before.
Yeah, it's like walking on a tightrope with no net below you. All of a sudden, I don't want to walk on the tightrope anymore. And that risk, I think, is what makes great adults. Not reckless, but calculated risks that cause me to want to step out and do something. So with all of that said, we're all, I think, guilty of this to a degree. Parents certainly are by just wanting our kids to have good self-esteem and feel safe. So we affirm them. We give them allowances just for being a part of the family. That's okay. But just know there's an upside and downside to that. Students find a way to negotiate a grade. I mean, if you're an educator listening to this, can I just tell you, I talk to teachers every single week of my life where they're talking about kids that are negotiating their way through the class. I know how to turn that D or F into a passing grade, and that's all I care about. Just want to pass, just get by. And then some that have to get straight A's, they know how to negotiate that B into an A. So once again, they're going, I know how to manipulate the system, and I don't even have to actually score well. I can make it look like I scored well. So Jim, I'm not kidding when I say this. As a result, I'm talking to college staff and faculty that are saying things like this to me. I'm hearing students, they say, come to me in my office or in the admissions office, and they're saying things like, why didn't I get an A? I showed up at class every day, as if that was the scorecard. If I show up, I should get an A. you're guaranteeing me a job once I graduate, right? And you and I both know college does not necessarily guarantee a job anymore. It did maybe 15 years ago, but not today.
Right.
Others say, the kid says, okay, so I flunked the test. What do I need to do to get the grade I want? And it may be they have the teacher's forced to say, you can't. You took the class, and now you got to take it over. Some say, how come my suite mate got a scholarship and I didn't? And the admissions counselors are floored because they're going, because he was smarter? You know, I mean, he showed some ambition. Others have said, well, if my parents pay the tuition, I deserve the grades I want. Once again, I'm a customer, you're a vendor, and you should give me what I want. Another one has said, I think the government's job is to make sure I get a job and a house. This was a school in Florida where the faculty member actually said he asked the students to write a paper on what they felt like school should do. And they said, I think it's the government's job to make sure that I have a house and a job. And once again, I don't know what you think about that as a listener. This is just a very different nation than the one we began with. And we should not be surprised when we see lack of ambition. One more real quick. You know, many kids will say, you can't criticize me. I tried. I mean, after all, I tried. So these are just simple illustrations of how we've got to perhaps rethink what are we doing, and perhaps maybe there's some merit to letting them fall down, and we need to nurture them as they get back up, but they need to fall down and maybe fail, and maybe those kinds of things actually will be the things that stir ambition in them.
And possibly even, you know, if needed, removing those expected rewards, you know, thinking from a business perspective. You know, I've talked to many business owners that just, you know, if you work there a year, you get a raise, regardless of your performance.
Just tenure. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think, you know, rewarding them as the longer you know, they've been with the company is great.
Right.
But I certainly think, like you've said, it needs to be based off, you know, a performance review or something that they can shoot for.
Yeah. Now, if you're pushing back on what we're saying, let me just say again, there is a place, in fact, a centerpiece place for caring adults to speak into the lives of kids and to love them. And I mean, unconditional love, love without conditions. Certainly that's true. We're talking about another category where in the midst of a loving environment, a relatively safe environment, we're saying, now go do what is in you. Go show me what your gift is. Show me that God-given talent. And when you do, your self-esteem will be helped. Let me give you a great example of what I'm talking about. Author Dan Pink, who's become a dear friend of us at Growing Leaders, he's written a number of great books. But he wrote a book, I believe this one was out of his book called Drive, where he explained how three groups of preschool-aged students, these are young kids, were asked to draw a picture, okay, three separate groups. The first group was told, when you're finished, you'll get a prize. The second group wasn't told anything about prizes, but each of the students did get one once they drew the picture, okay, so they got one, but they didn't know it. And then the third group was told nothing about prizes and received no prizes when they were finished. Okay, got the picture? The result was, when given the opportunity to draw a second picture, this was 3 weeks later, they recreated the scenarios, but with one slight change, just to see about ambition and incentive. This time, the kids were told there would be no prizes. We're asking you to do another picture, but this time, there's no prizes. You know what happened? It's very interesting. Not one student in the first group of kids wanted to draw anything. In other words, suddenly it was all about the prize, not the pleasure or satisfaction of drawing a really good picture. If there's no prize, I don't have any ambition. Hello? Now, nearly all the kids in the second and third groups did want to draw the picture because they didn't know going in. The incentive was not a prize. It was, oh, good, I get to draw a picture. In other words, I think there's something to leading kids with saying there'll be satisfaction just by doing math well, or just by playing first base well, or just by doing your job at the fast food restaurant really well. And I know that sounds so cheesy and corny, old-fashioned, but I think there's something to incentive and ambition that we've lost because of this. This experiment is a great picture of what I'm trying to say. The first group didn't draw, the second two groups did, and it was all about prizes or no prizes.
That's a great illustration, Tim. If you were to summarize it, not necessarily about money or a job reward, but if you were to summarize what ambition is, how would you describe that?
Well, again, I go back to the intrinsic factors that several authors have written about now, but I think this is what we got to recover in students. It's really three items that I think are the solution we got to build inside of the students, and here they are. The first one is the whole idea of autonomy and independence. Every human being, starting as children, want to have a growing sense of, I'm able to do this on my own. I mean, this is exaggerated, but no grown adult wants a parent to be tying their shoes when they're 25 years old. Now, that's stupid, but there's a growing sense of, I need to be independent. I need to feel autonomous. I need to be doing this work without someone standing over my shoulder telling me what to do and how to do it. That's just demotivating. So to build ambition, we need to allow our kids to have a growing sense of autonomy. Teachers, for you, this means when they're in middle school, it should look different than the elementary school. For high schoolers, it should look different than middle school. And obviously in higher ed, we should not be treating them like teenagers anymore. It's like high schoolers. So how this might look is perhaps you give them a job to do and you know they're not going to do it really well right away. In fact, you're pretty sure you could do it better than they are, that they will, but you let them do it anyway. You give them that sense. In fact, I've often said adolescents have a natural sense of, I want to spread my wings. I want to do this on my own. Even if I love mom and dad, I have to spread my wings. So we've got to give them that sense of, I'm going to let you do this on your own. I'm not going to question it. We can talk later if you want to, but I'm going to give you that sense of autonomy. The second one, and actually Dan Pink talks about this one in his book, is the idea of mastery. One of the greatest ambitions that we can build inside of kids is the sense of, I am mastering this work. I'm mastering this task or this project. I'm going about football or this paper I'm writing or whatever, you name it, and I'm mastering it. In fact, this really shows up. It shows up in males and females, but since you and I are both males, can I tell you, this even works in relationships with males. I want to master getting that girl, you know? So I date her and put on my best foot forward, right. Good cologne. I actually showered, you know, all those things. And now I get her. In fact, the problem is sometimes we check that off the list and we're going into something else and she's going, hello, I'm still here. But the whole point of mastery is critical. We need to help students find their primary gifts and strengths and let them master something. They feel like, I am getting better and better. And I actually think, as politically incorrect as this sounds, I need to feel like I do this better than most people. I don't go around taunting anybody, right. But I can draw pictures better than most people, or I can write better than most, I can do something better than the average guy. There's got to be a sense of, I'm unique in that way. So autonomy, mastery. The third one is the whole idea of purpose and mission. Meaning, I believe inside of every human being, one of the greatest ambitions we can build is, I am going about a project that has great significance. It's bigger than I am. I'm giving my life to something that really matters. Now, certainly, as we talk about Maslow's hierarchy of human need, this is the highest end. This is the altruistic things we do when we're self-actualized. In other words, I'm not worried about food and clothing. I'm not worried about getting a roof over my head. I'm actually pretty high on that triangle. But when kids begin to feel like, I'm doing something that really matters, oh my gosh, they will surprise us with their ambition. In fact, they often call it passion. But when it's real, it's ambition that comes out in passionate behavior. You and I both know young adults that are helping to get clean water in Africa. And I love it. They're digging wells or else funding those wells. They're working to stop the sex trafficking in Asia, and it's incredible what's happening. They're joining the One campaign with Bono. They're doing all kinds of things, and the reason they are is because there's this God-given ambition that's coming naturally through the sense of, I've got a purpose bigger than me. So those may not be brand new ideas, but I think what we got to do as educators, teachers, parents, youth workers, is we've got to figure out, how can I build inside of these kids autonomy, mastery, and purpose?
I think those are three great handles. Thanks for sharing that with us, Tim. And for you, our listener, we'd love for you to join us for our follow-up podcast. We're going to share six tangible ideas that you can start to build ambition and incentive in the kids. Until then, if you'd like to pick up a book, it's called Artificial Maturity. It speaks a little bit to this subject. It talks about how to raise these kids up as authentic adults, But it starts with the foundation, which we've talked about today, would be incentive. So you can go to growingleaders.com and click on store and check it out there. Until next time, thanks for joining us.